Isis the Pharaoh, Facsimile 3, Figure 2. An article by Stephen O. Smoot, John Gee, Kerry Muehlstein, and John S. Thompson. Published in BYU Studies Quarterly, Volume 61, Issue 4.
The explanation given for Facsimile 3 identifies Figure 2 as, quote, King Pharaoh, whose name is given in the characters above his head, end quote. One potential way to identify this figure by Egyptological methods would be to read the character's hieroglyphs above his head. Unfortunately, the original illustration or vignette from the papyrus is not extant, and so we are forced to decipher the glyphs as they are reproduced in Facsimile 3 by their engraver, Reuben Headlock. While Headlock appears to have done a fairly commendable job accurately reproducing the facsimiles, at least based on a comparison of Facsimile 1 with the extant original papyrus, he also made some noticeable mistakes. So, the first issue at hand in resolving the question of the identity of this figure would be to determine how legible these glyphs actually are. In fact, a number of Egyptologists who have examined Facsimile 3 have lamented that the hieroglyphs reproduced by Headlock were partially or entirely illegible, quote, leaving them to rely upon comparable scenes from other texts to provide their interpretations of the figures, end quote. The only two Egyptologists who have tried in print to read the hieroglyphs above Figure 2 render them as follows. 1. Robert Rittner, 2011, read as Ast wurt mut nter, which means Isis the Great, the God's Mother. And 2. Michael Rhodes, 2002, which reads Ist wurt wut nter, meaning the Great Isis, Mother of the God. Rittner does not provide a hieroglyphic transcription for his reading, while Rhodes does. A careful comparison of the glyphs as reproduced by Headlock and Rhodes, however, revealed some difficulties. The most noticeable difference is in the top three glyphs, which form the name Isis. These glyphs were either poorly preserved by Headlock or poorly drawn by the original ancient Egyptian scribe. It is impossible to tell without the original papyrus fragment, making them effectively illegible. What Egyptologists such as Rhodes, and it would appear Rittner, have done is reconstruct and read these glyphs how they think they ought to be read, as the name of Isis, as opposed to how they actually stand in the preserved facsimile. So, while this figure could with good reason be identified as Isis, based on similar iconographic elements found in comparable scenes, the identity of this figure cannot be securely reached based solely on reading the poorly preserved hieroglyphs. The identification of this figure as Isis is therefore worth exploring, but there are reasons for this identification to be accepted cautiously. At first glance, this appears problematic for Joseph Smith's interpretation of this figure, since, as seen above, scholars identify this figure as the goddess Isis, or sometimes the goddess Hathor, who was often syncretized with Isis, not the Egyptian pharaoh. If we assume that this identification is correct, a closer look at the attributes and epithets ascribed to the goddess Isis during the time Facsimile 3 was drawn reveals that this identification actually has some justification. As the mother of the god Horus, who was godly manifestation of Pharaoh, Isis has long been recognized as the royal mother and the king's wife by the ancient Egyptians. Quote, she was most commonly shown as a woman wearing the throne symbol that helps to write her name. As the throne goddess, she was the mother of each Egyptian king. End quote. By virtue of her royal associations and because of her extensive worship throughout the Mediterranean world, by the time of the Joseph Smith papyri, Isis had come to be identified as the Pharaohess of Egypt. In one text from this time period, for example, she is called the pharaohess of the whole land, per at and ta er de f. For additional dozens of epithets and titles, she was also designated, among other things, ruler of the two lands in the house of joy, hakwat tawi hut aut ib, ruler of gods and goddesses, h Pequot, Untwe, Untwit, the Faroese of everything, Per Ot Intim Indb, the queen who seizes office by her decree, Inswit Iti Iawut M Sukris, excellent ruler, Hequot Imskt, excellent queen, Inswit Imskt, excellent ruler on the throne of her father, Hequot Imskt, Her Inst Eats, ruler of Egypt, Hequot Int Bakht, and queen of all Egypt, Inswit Int Sinwit As. Epithets such as these were routinely given to the reigning monarch, whether male or female, and inasmuch as Isis's name in Egyptian literally means throne or seat, her shared identity with the office of the pharaoh is not at all surprising. Quote, as the presumed embodiment of the seat of the throne, Isis is in a special way bound to kingship and thus to the political aspect of the king's divine nature. Her role as mother of Horus and sister-wife of Osiris binds her even more closely into the Egyptian kingship in which the living king Horus, the pharaoh, embodies. End quote. Accordingly, with the idea of the great lady Isis actually personifying the throne and thereby the Egyptian kingship, quote, the incongruity of Joseph Smith's identification of figure 2 in facsimile 3 as King Pharaoh begins to dissolve.
About the authors. Stephen O. Smoot is a doctoral student in Semitic and Egyptian languages and literature at the Catholic University of America. He previously earned a master's degree from the University of Toronto in Near and Middle Eastern Civilizations, with a concentration in Egyptology, and bachelor's degrees from Brigham Young University in Ancient Near Eastern Studies, with a concentration in Hebrew Bible and German Studies. He is currently an adjunct instructor of religious education at Brigham Young University and a research associate with the B.H. Roberts Foundation. John Gee is the William Bill Gay Research Professor in the Department of Asian and Near Eastern Languages at Brigham Young University. He has published extensively on scripture and ancient studies. He has served on the boards of national and international biblical and Egyptological organizations, and as the editor of an international multilingual peer-reviewed Egyptological journal. Carrie Muehlstein is a professor of ancient scripture and ancient Near Eastern studies at Brigham Young University. He received his bachelor's degree from BYU in psychology with a Hebrew minor. He received an MA in Ancient Near Eastern Studies from BYU and a PhD from UCLA in Egyptology. His first full-time appointment was a joint position in religion and history at BYU Hawaii. He is the director of the BYU Egypt Excavation Project. He was also a visiting fellow at the University of Oxford for the 2016-17 academic year. He has served as the chairman of a national committee for the American Research Center in Egypt and serves on their Research Supporting Member Council. He is the senior vice president of the Society for the Study of Egyptian Antiquities and has served as president. He has published and researched on Egyptological topics and Book of Abraham topics for over two decades. John S. Thompson obtained his B.A. and M.A. in Ancient Near Eastern Studies, Hebrew Bible, from BYU and UC Berkeley, respectively, and completed a Ph.D. in Egyptology at the University of Pennsylvania. After more than 25 years as an employee of seminaries and institutes of religion, most recently as the coordinator/institute director in Cambridge, Massachusetts, he currently researches and writes for Scripture Central. This is an audio production of BYU Studies Quarterly, read for you by Jared Kamau and Emily Wells. BYU Studies publishes scholarly insights informed by the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. For access to additional articles, essays, and more, please visit byustudies.byu.edu.